Good evening, listeners, and welcome back to the next episode in our Game of the Year 2017 coverage. As always, haven't gone anywhere. It's one of your hosts, Cameron Kearns, here alongside my partner in crime, Mr. Will Turkhurst. Will, what's up, man? What's going on?
All I know is we're here to rock you like a hurricane.
All right. Yeah, man, when I listen to music, I usually do it. I have like certain moods. And like, you know, sometime I'll have a hip hop mood, then I'll have an R&B mood, then I'll have like a pop mood. But they're like, yeah, you're bringing the here I am. And now I'm getting in that rock mood again.
Yeah, good, good. Because Queen, it never leaves me.
Pull some Queen and some Foreigner out.
Yeah, I you can call me Uncultured Swine. I listen to one of two things, rock or video game music.
But where can you go wrong with those two?
Look, all I know is either I've got Carry On My Wayward Son or Here I Am. And it's just like, let's go.
Well, you know what the people here are wanting to listen to? They're wanting to hear us listen. They're wanting to listen to us deliberate about our Game of the Year awards.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do. That's why they're here. That's why they're listening to us.
No. They're here to listen to us BS about games.
Well, that's one of the things we do. We do Game of the Year.
Oh, no.
No, guys, welcome. If you don't know, we are in the midst of our Game of the Year 2017 awards here. All throughout the month of January, we are going through our 10 total categories in deciding which game in each of those categories stands above the rest to win one of our coveted Rocket Punch Game of the Year awards here. But let's go ahead and get through the housekeeping and stuff. So if you don't know, this is the Rocket Punch cast. Welcome. We're glad you're listening, tuning into us, guys. This is where groups of friends from the South join this table to talk about video games into microphones. As I said a little bit earlier, we've got our Game of the Year episodes all through January, 10 total categories. How this basically works is that we have six nominees in each category.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to sit here and deliberate, go through each of those nominees, and decide who takes home the big grand prize. How we'll do that is that we will go from six nominees down to three finalists in the winner's circle. Then from those three finalists, we will choose one, because there can be only one, to be the grand winner there. The other two finalists will just be two finalists there. We don't have a second or third place kind of process there, because those two games are still awesome.
Because they would be plebeian tier compared to the godhood of the third game.
That's you're exactly right. Ooh, that's a good way. I like that. I like that a lot. But we have all of our categories will be a stream, or will be basically put on podcast services around the globe every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of the month of January. With one of the episodes that we will actually be streaming live as we deliberate it each Sunday of the month of January on twitch.tv/RocketPunchLive. Am I Rocket Punch Live?
Yeah, we're Rocket Punch Live. Why? Because we do it live.
That's right. We do it live. There's so many acronyms I got to remember. Yeah, twitch.tv/RocketPunchLive at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time each Sunday night. You can definitely tune in. So if you're wanting to see us deliberate live on Twitch as we talk about these games, you can definitely do so. But if you want to see all of our full coverage, you just want to go to rocketpunchgo.com. Go to the main page there. It'll be right at the front. You'll be able to see all of the categories, all of our winners live as we release each episode each week. All this is going to culminate with our final Game of the Year pick later on at the end of the last Sunday in January. We're going to stream that live too. God bless us.
What is a Game of the Year? I'm trolling. Let's do this.
Well, that was even a weak troll. Like, you're better than that, Will. Come on. Game up, man. This is an exciting category for me, too. I really like this category. I'm glad we're talking about this. But, of course, before we get started, if you are loving our content and you want to help support us, definitely be sure to swing over to patreon.com/rocketpunch. For as little as a dollar a month, you can help support the show, keep the lights on. We've got a lot of exciting stuff we're going to plan for Patreon subscribers for the year of 2018 and beyond. So definitely swing over there if you want to help support the show. But the other thing as well, we definitely bring this up. In our Game of the Year deliberations, we do, depending on the situation, we may have to bring out spoilers on certain games and topics in order to get our point across for or against a particular game. If that is the case, Will and I have agreed to do our best to give you guys spoiler warnings ahead of time. So that way, if you have not played the game yet, you'll have plenty of time and plenty of warning to go ahead and pause the audio or skip ahead a few minutes to make sure you don't get spoiled. on anything in particular. But now that the housekeeping's out of the way, let's jump right into the fray here. Like I said, this is one of my favorite categories. Out of the 10 that we do, I really have a lot of fun doing this. This one is for unexpected gem.
Really?
Yes. This is, we've always had this category. It's been here since we've been doing Game of the Year stuff. But to give a rundown of what we are talking about, for unexpected gem, what this means is that we're awarding it to a game that exceeded initial expectations on execution and scope than originally intended. This is going to be a game that, whether from the developer standpoint or even from, more importantly, our standpoint, maybe a game that we played that we maybe didn't expect a lot out of. I mean, just like, you know, not necessarily that it was bad, but like, oh, you know, this game's going to be okay, decent enough. But had a super fun time playing, or could even be a game that we were somewhat hyped for and even just blew it even further beyond out of our
range. I am the hype.
Yeah, there you go. The very Vegeta-esque I am the hype game. Somebody just kind of blew it out of the water and really took home, went on another level.
One could say it just final flashed us away.
Man, we're gonna have to start like putting restrictions on your Dragon Ball Super watch time.
No, you see, here's the problem. I only watch one episode a week because I'm up to date.
Okay. Darn. Well, let's get everybody up to date on our nominees for Unexpected Gem. So, the nominees for Rocket Punch's Game of the Year 2017 Unexpected Gem Award are Little Nightmares, Hidden Agenda, Kamiko, Everybody's Golf, Hellblade, Senua's Sacrifice, and Mario plus Rabbids, Kingdom Battle.
Ooh, this list.
It's a pretty varied list. I'm really excited. Like, it's one of my favorite categories, and I'm really excited kind of for us to talk about. This is one of the few we really haven't talked about ahead of time, really to see our opinions on it and see kind of what we come down to when we boil everything down.
All right. Let's do this. Leroy.
Jenkins. I'll finish it. Let's jump in.
You shouldn't have to finish it. It's ingrained in the soul of our society.
It's understood?
Yes.
It says something about WoW.
Dude, I know some people that have never played WoW that know about Leroy Jenkins.
Again, it says something about WoW when you can actually do that. Like, ascend the bonds of your video game ether and go into pop culture. That's something there. First game up on the list, Little Nightmares. Now,
you had a massive experience with this game on Twitch.
We did. Yeah, we just got through recording The Best Indie, and we talked about this game as well. But going back through with Little Nightmares, I mean, this game was something else. In regards to Unexpected Gem, I talked about it in Best Indie a little bit, but diving a little bit more here, this was a game I bought. I saw it. I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. It looks like Inside. It looks like Limbo. Something I didn't expect. And I was like, oh, man, I'm drawn to this. I'll pick this game up here. Picked it up. Sat in my, as most games do on your Steam catalog, sits in your library for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Finally came to a point in October of 2017, around Halloween week, that we were picking games to play for our streaming week. And I was like, oh no, wait, there's a game that I want to play that looked kind of spooky. Not too bad.
But not spoopy either.
Yeah, not spoopy, which was good. And it was, I'm like, what is it? Oh, Little Nightmares. It looked kind of cool. I want to play it. I haven't played it yet. So that'll be a cool experience for myself and people that are tuning in to watch it. Man, was that an experience. It was, normally when we do game streams every Thursday, we jump in and it's about 2 hours usually. This was one of the few streams I went over. It was like three and a half hours that we streamed the game. Ended up beating the game completely.
Okay.
And I had just a blast with this game all the way through. The puzzles were very well done. Something I didn't expect. When I saw the game, it looked like Inside. So I expected a little bit of, like, you know, Inside, I'm going to have a lot of puzzle stuff. You got the kind of 2D, 2.5D kind of walk along the sides there. But I think the big thing that threw me for a loop was just the presentation and how we talked about it in the best indie category, but like the characters and when you're in the scenes, when you're fighting the, because for people who don't know, Little Nightmares, basically you're this little child on this weird boat. You're in this raincoat and you're on this boat and you're trying to escape the boat. And there are these monstrous adult type creatures that are coming for you. They're coming to eat you.
They're coming for you, little Timmy.
And these were some of the moments, in my opinion, where it really stood out for me and really shined and really became something I didn't expect. A lot of the first scene we talked about where you fight the first kind of quote-unquote boss. It's this weird, short little dude with stubby legs, but he's got these like literally gigantically long hands and arms.
So he's like a goblin with like 40 arms.
If the arms were stacked on each other. Yeah. I would see him like, oh, dude, I'm not going to mess with this dude. Sneak around him. Kind of the first couple of mechanics in the first room, when you see him, he's got his back turned to you and you're on carpet. Apparently, when you start stepping on the wood planks, he can hear you. So the first time I didn't pay attention, I walk on the wood planks. All of a sudden, he jumps up, turns around, and just comes up. It is just quick. It like reaches over, grabs me, and just takes me into the corner and does whatever he does to me.
Oh, because that's not creepy.
Yeah, of course not. Yeah, I'm like, oh my God, what is happening here? And so having to learn.
Call the police.
We'll just learn. There are no police on this boat.
Are you sure?
Promise.
Coast Guard.
Okay, I'm a little too far for that. But like having learned, like, okay, the carpet's not making noise. I need to stay on the carpet, and having like run around when I would make noise, he'd hear me. But then I'd get on the carpet and hide in the corner, and he'd like looking around for me. But it got even crazier because as you get further into the more and more rooms, he's like, you're in grating and crates, and he's reaching into like the ventilation system to come get you. He's, I remember hopping on top of this bookshelf. And I'm like, cool, I'm safe. All of a sudden, this hand starts crawling up the bookshelf and like tapping the top of the bookshelf trying to find me. And it really made it unnerving all the way until like the final part when you take him down. And that's just the first kind of boss you run into. That's not to mention the like chefs that you run into, that you're in the kitchen and if he finds you, he grabs you, puts you on the butcher block, starts chopping away. It was a really, again, unexpected gem. It was a game that I liked it. I did not expect to like it as much as I did.
Okay.
If you're a big fan of Inside and Limbo and games of that nature, you owe it to yourself to check out Little Nightmares. I don't think it got a lot of hype, I don't think it got any hype at all. A few people talked about it here or there, but this is with a wonderful game, in my opinion, one of the nice little treats of 2017. Came out of nowhere and did a great job in all of its presentation, all the way up until the last fight, and what happens after that was just crazy. I know we talked about you joined the last hour of the stream, hour or so, and you were like, just what is happening here?
Oh, yeah. No, it was absolutely weird and crazy, but, yeah, hey, worth doing.
Most definitely. But it was a really cool game, I think, earned its spot as a nominee for Unexpected Gem for me this year. Just at home.
Fair enough. So the next one up is Hidden Agenda.
Yeah.
Now, we played this one on our Extra Life stream.
We did. That was the first and only time we played this. Give us a rundown.
All right.
Of Hidden Agenda.
So I love the idea of the fact that everyone has to have an app on their phone to control this. Yep. You can't be multitasking either because you have to have the app open.
Yeah, give people a rundown. What Hidden Agenda is, you may not have heard of it. This is the PlayStation PlayLink game. These are those games like the Jackbox Party Pack.
Kind of, yeah.
Like That's You and whatnot, that people don't have to have controllers. You can use a mobile app on your phone to play the game and interact with people.
Yeah, because you link it all up. The cool thing with this is you're essentially trying to solve this like murder mystery.
Mm-hmm.
And before the inmate gets put to death.
Yeah. And now we're talking about Unexpected Gem here. I want to hear, because we sat down, it was you and myself. We had Jed and Courtney. Mm-hmm. And I think we had one other person.
I'm not sure if it was Chris or Trish were involved.
No. It was Hunter.
Oh yeah, Hunter.
All those guys. One of those two helping us out with the stream and whatnot.
Yeah.
No, like talk about the game. Like, how did you feel? Like, and just in generally.
It was interesting because it made everybody, and we all, like, some of us knew each other pretty well, some of us didn't really know anybody at all, and it made us vote on certain things. And then after you answer your own things, it is like, okay, so based on this, everyone feels like this person is the most trustworthy for this decision.
Mm-hmm.
And so it kind of forces people into this weird path, and then it puts you into this thing. All right, cool. So during this thing, we have to find these clues. Go, and whoever finds them first gets these points or the card or whatever. So it's just very interesting because it takes the idea of a choose your own adventure and throws it into a party game, and it did it in a very unique way.
It was really
everybody cool. Had controls. Everybody had a thing where they could throw a card down and essentially say, "No, I'm making the choice here."
Yeah. Oh, and then there, you talked about, like, we had to pick who they thought was the most trustworthy, and there were parts in the game where it would basically be like, you chose Will to be the most trustworthy person, so he's the only one who can make this decision. Yeah. And we're kind of all looking like, Will, you gotta, like, go this way, go this way. And there were even some of the decisions where a majority had to agree on it, but then there were the ones
where everyone has to agree or you can't move forward.
Those are the tough ones because we're having this philosophical debate. No, no, she would never do this. Like, no, no, she would totally do this.
Yeah. So based on that, honestly, it was just, that was an awesome experience.
It was. Like,
and it's one of those, like, man, that really makes me want to go back and play that because I just feel like there are some things that, like, as far as that, like, you need like 5-6 people just go in there and be stupid. And you know what? Throw some alcohol in there.
Oh, that makes it even better.
Yeah, but it's definitely a unique experience. There's nothing else like it this year.
It was something when they announced their PlayLink stuff. This was one of the headliner games, like, mm-hmm. Hidden Agenda. You had these like movie cutscenes and whatnot. It looked real, from the guys who did Until Dawn.
Yep.
So it looks like it too. But we sat there. You have 2 to 6 players, and we sat there and played. I was interested in. I'm like, I want to give this a shot, see what it looks like. Did not know that we were gonna have so much fun with that game. Not at all. I was really, really impressed with the interaction and generally how easy it was to connect your phone and download the app and do all that other stuff to it. And you really, like, I had a blast. I had, a very awesome time with that game.
Yeah, no, it was definitely interesting. I don't know of any experience like that so far this year.
Agreed. Next up on the list is
Comico.
Comico, yes. So, again, as we said in earlier episodes, Cameron has not played this game. I know of it. I've not played it. But Will, you are the resident expert on Comico.
Yeah.
Give us the rundown of why it's on the list.
So you have Shield Maidens or Comicos that are essentially in a Hyperlight Drifter-esque style game where you have to kill things. You can only get hit so many times. And you are in an 8/16-bit art style. It's a lot of fun. There's a lot of movement, sprinting and all that kind of stuff, puzzle solving, boss fights, all that jazz. It's a Switch-only release. It's like $5, and it is just a fun little experience.
Yeah, I know, and based on everything I've heard you talk about, it's like, for $5, this was something, you think $5, you're like, I can get my a junky mobile app on my phone for $5. But Comico at $5.
It's a legit, like, retro style game. It's got solid combat. It does make you work for it. It's not necessarily an easy game. It's not a hard game. But it does make you think and actually, and it doesn't explain anything to you. Once it's like, all right, cool, here's your maiden, go.
Oh, really? It doesn't give you any explanation?
Ooh. Figure it out.
That's interesting as well.
I mean, you know, it's not a long game, and you've got 3 different playthroughs if you want to try each weapon style.
Okay, cool.
Because you can't change weapons.
Yeah, I heard
it's based on the maiden.
Playthrough is only a few hours.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's a $5 game. So, you know, take that as you will. I enjoyed it a lot. It was a lot of fun, and it's when the Switch came out, and everyone's like, oh, there's no games, and it's like, this is one of the first games I bought besides Zelda for it, and I put some time into it.
No, that's what people meant. They were like, there are no games to play between Zelda. So I need something to... I think this is a great game. Like, I you talked about it earlier, and I was like, man, why don't I have this game for $5? For $5.
I mean, you know, you could just not eat at Subway one day, and there you go.
Yeah, man. Don't follow Jared's example.
Well, yeah. On many things, don't follow that example. Jesus.
But for, like, you know, I got my 64 gig memory card in my Switch now. I can download Comico. I'm super...
You and your plebeian 64 gig card.
Hey, look, man, some of us aren't cool and didn't pre-order the cartridge before we...
I didn't pre-order it. I bought the cartridge as they announced the Switch. I'm like, ah, yes.
Semantics, whatever.
Yes, give me the 128 gig.
But no, you're...
Yeah, no, because I have over 80 gigs of free space, and there's like 20 games on there.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, yeah. But you're a big fan of Comico.
Yeah, I keep going back and play it every once in a while. It's still one of those games where it's like, all right, it's like Hyper Light Drifter, but not as intense.
Look, I was sold on like Hyper Light Drifter because you know I'm.
Yeah. Now again, it's not going to be anywhere near as good as Heart Machine's setup there. Just take that into account.
It's just funny. Your comment in that one episode. Like, remember that game from 2016 that you were like gaga over? Like, it's Hyper Light Drifter.
Yeah. No, I did say Heart Machine though too.
Yeah, you said Heart Machine. Like, yes, Hyper Light Drifter.
I remembered the developer.
That's good. That's great. They're awesome people. But no, definitely. I think for $5, if you have a Switch, Comico's definitely a pickup.
Oh yeah, no, definitely worth it. I mean, dude, you gotta have something to play in between all the Marios and the Zeldas and all that, you know.
All the Marios and the Zeldas and the good Jello. I don't know what I'm doing.
Oh, like, God. He's turning into Bill Cosby. Run.
Don't run.
Hide your wife, hide your kids. He's turning into Bill Cosby.
Don't run. Nothing bad's going on here. Next game on the list, and I'm really curious for at least like two of the next three to hear your thoughts on it.
So I picked up the next game on the list.
You did?
Yes.
Oh my God, the next game on the list, Everybody's Golf. Talk about Everybody's Golf.
So I first played it on our Extra Life stream, actually.
You did? Yeah. It was one of the games like, we're going to play Everybody's Golf. Please come play it. It's really fun. I'm like you got to play this game. It's awesome.
Now, I will say, part of what sealed the deal on this is there is character creator options that lend themselves so you can actually play the game as Android 17 or 18.
It's because Japan. Japan.
No, people have figured out that, you could make a sense. You could, if you could get a third eye, you could have TN.
Yeah.
Like,
just straight up. Just go ahead and.
But you can't have the third eye. So
Everybody's Golf needs to go ahead and add in the Dragon Ball character pack. Just let us play as Goku and Vegeta.
All we need, all right, is to be able to make a crater and put Yamcha in it.
So when it's Yamcha's turn to hit the ball, he's just in the crater?
Well, hey, I mean, they had a whole episode where he actually beat Goku and Vegeta and everybody in baseball.
Because he's a pro baseball player.
But the only reason he won is because in the explosion, he ended up in the crater where home plate was.
Of course.
It was the callback shot to when he died on Earth.
It.
No, but this game, huge derailment there.
No. Five fun on that derailment. All I need is Vegeta in the pink shirt. The pink button.
The Batman shirt?
Yes.
So here's the question. Bulma had those clothes in her house, right? And she was with Yamcha before that. Does that mean Vegeta's wearing Yamcha's clothes?
Yamcha's not going to do anything about it.
Because Vegeta obviously didn't have clothes of his own.
Yeah. But no, talk to us about...
Sorry. Everybody's Golf. I do like its lighthearted take to the game. I thought it was interesting how they greeted you when you show up on the golf island. And
yeah,
so it's kind of interesting. It's like, hey, yeah, we got this thing, and she's going to help you make this character, and then go. So it's very lighthearted, but it's very Japanese in its approach.
I mean, it's a Japanese game. For people may be thrown off by Everybody's Golf, but this is the Hot Shots Golf series from Japan.
Yeah.
It's called Everybody's Golf in Japan, but it's Hot Shots Golf to everybody else. This is a really... I remember playing the Hot Shots Golf games back in the day, and when I saw Everybody's Golf was coming out, I was really excited to get a chance to play this. Really easy. You can disagree with me because it's your first time playing it. Really easy to pick up.
Yeah,
It wasn't this huge, like, I know you've got a lot of stuff on the screen as far as options and whatnot, but as far as just like learning to initially pick it up and play, You have that simple bar. You hit the X button 3 times as you line up your shot.
Pop, pop, pop. Hey! Oh, I'm in the rough. That's on me.
Were there any bad shots when we played that game?
We had a couple where it was a little more interesting, but we really didn't do too badly.
Who was the one who hit... They got stuck behind a tree, and they tried hitting around the tree, but it hit a branch and, like, hit right in their face. That was hilarious.
It wasn't me.
I don't think it was me either. Watch Extra Life stream. Maybe we find it again. But
yeah. But, yeah, if you like an inexpensive game, that because I picked it up for, like, $20 on sale.
Yeah, it's very... Actually, I think $40 is the entry price. And if you catch it on sale, $20 easily.
Yeah, I think it was the Black Friday PlayStation sale.
The Black Friday Bundaroo?
Yes. Good. The Black Friday Bundaroo.
The Hot Shots Goof Bundaroo.
Yes. No, it's a fun game, though. Yeah. Definitely worth exploring. Guys, look, it's golf. You sit back on the couch, you kick back, relax, have a beer in one hand, you know, controller in the other. You're good. You don't need to get serious. It's not like, you know, it's Gran Turismo or anything.
Yeah, I didn't know what to expect, how everybody was going to like it. I like it. It's a great game. Play it. And I think I'm glad everybody enjoyed it.
Yeah. So the next one.
The next one on the list. Hellblade Senua's Sacrifice. Not the first time we've heard this game here on our Game of the Year talks, has it?
No. Not the first. Probably isn't going to be the last. This game is too damn good. Let's go ahead and start there. There's a lot of effort been put into this game.
I was going to say, like, I want to hear your thoughts. Because I played the game, and I was
we've both played the game.
Yeah, now. But the particular thoughts of, like, I played this game, Will, go play this game. And, like, you, and your thought process from, like, okay, Cameron's telling me to play this game, I'm going to try it, to actually playing the game and, like, what's going on?
So, the most telling part about this game is when you're essentially just along for the ride on the intro. And Senua is paddling this log into Helheim. Mm-hmm. And so it's very Norse mythological base right there, which honestly is what pulled me in more than your recommendation.
Really?
Oh, I love Norse mythology.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That dude, don't... God of War this year?
You can, hype machine!
Woo! To quote Vegeta, I am the hype.
Oh, man. That's really cool.
But yeah, no, this game is awesome as far as the production values go, considering it's like a small 20-ish person team. I cannot begin to recommend it enough. Yes, you need 7.1 surround sound headphones to play this game properly.
5.1 works too, but 7.1 for the true ultimate experience. You gotta
Well, just get yourself the PlayStation Golds, you know. Yeah, I mean, let's
You can
be
get
real.
Those literally on the cheap for like $30, $40.
Yeah, just find a sale somewhere. You'll be good. No, totally worth it. I definitely recommend this game. Hands down, it's a unique experience. It lets you see what it's like to experience mental illnesses.
Yeah.
And without going totally schizophrenic and insane yourself.
Yeah. Something really cool. I know we've talked ad nauseum about Hellblade. You've listened to some of the other episodes. If you want to hear in detail or other picks on or other details on why we enjoy Hellblade so much. But yeah, something came out of nowhere.
Now, one thing I will say, total transparency, I rock this combat system.
Oh, really? Oh, whoa!
Yeah, no, dude, it's one of those, like, oh, okay, cool, come at me, bro. You can send me 5 of those Men of the North, ain't nothing to them.
It took me a minute to figure out the specific battle stuff, and, like, for most of the game, I didn't use, there was a special ability you can use, I never used it. I didn't even realize you could use it. But, like, the game itself doesn't have any HUDs. It's just what she has on her, and that helps tell you when stuff is ready.
Look,
really...
all I know is dodge, light attack, heavy attack. That's all I need. Get out my way.
How far are you in the game?
3 hours in right now.
Okay, so you get to... We'll talk off mic again, but you get to a point where... I think that was the point.
When actually, I was using... I don't want to talk off mic because I don't want to ruin anything else. Like, I'm actually liking where this is going. So.
Okay, good. No, okay. We'll wait till you finish here. But there's a point where I had to start. Like, I've got to do more than just light and heavy attacks. Like, I gotta spice things up. And when you get to that point, you'll know it.
I don't know. I mean, that's kind of like a Reaper not learning how to hit Q.
When is ultimate ready?
Yeah.
die.
Yeah.
But that's Hellblade. Our last game on the list. Maybe it's shocker, maybe not. It was a shocker to a lot of people. Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle.
So I did not buy this game until I saw you had played it. Because there's no way I was going to buy a Rabbids base game until I saw that it's like, okay, cool. So let's just take everything we love about a tactical game and say, you know what? XCOM, you stay over there. It's cool. Mario's going to do a better job at this than you.
Whoa, man, calm down here.
No, I'm not going to calm down. I've played the first XCOM.
But have you played XCOM 2?
Well,
is it 2?
I don't know. Do I have that one on my Steam library or not?
It's been on sale. It's been on sale. You got it.
I may have it, or maybe it was in a Humble Bundle.
XCOM 2 was the first one I played, and I've had a lot of fun with it.
But yeah. One thing I will definitely say is, I'm sorry, man, but dude, you just can't touch the plumber. He's got it.
Oh my God.
His throwing bones are coming.
This year, he's been rolling pretty hard, but this game was E3, they announced it. There were leaks coming in like, hey, Ubisoft working on a Rabbids game that's going to cross with Mario. What the hell's going on? And we end up with, I remember when they talked about it on stage, like Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle. They got Miyamoto comes on stage with that little gun blaster thing. Mm-hmm. And they had Yves Guillemot from Ubisoft, the CEO, like, oh, there's a huge post. And like pundits everywhere were like, what is this? What is going on? This game is not going to be great. It's going to be horrible. But then some people started getting hit in the previews.
Yeah.
And then people were like, oh no, what had me was like when they said, this is like XCOM with Mario. I'm like, so yes, I'm in. Where do I give you the money?
Insert credit card here.
But really getting my hands on the game, even above and beyond even my expectations, I've had a lot of fun with the game. I'm a big fan of tactical RPGs, and the fact that it's on the Switch. You know me well enough, Will. Like, I really like tactical RPGs on the, like, having them on the go really helps out when you just pull them out somewhere. And,
oh, yeah. Or, you know what? Be like, man, I gotta go to the bathroom.
Yes. But with the Switch, you can do that with Zelda, too.
Yeah. No. And let's be real. There's a more important game to be played there.
But it was really engaging how you don't know what to think, but like kind of as you said, you're not sure what to think until you actually see it, until you actually play it. Then you start going, oh, okay, I understand how this is going on. Playing with Mario and that cast of characters alongside the Rabbids. I'm going to say it now. Rabbid Peach is freaking awesome. I love her to death.
You are a fool of a
tooth. She's hilarious. Hilarious.
Nah, and, man, it's Luigi Rabbid.
Rabbit Luigi, he's just crazy. He's hilarious, too. He's just crazy.
No, that yo-yo, son.
The yo-yo's pretty good. But just Rabbit Peach, just the cutscene she's in. My favorite part, of course, is when, like, Peach is there. She, like, walks around Peach and, like, lifts her dress up and just like, can't believe you. Like, just kind of... I was on the ground laughing. And that's what the Rabbids for Ubisoft really did. It's like, there's a comic relief there to kind of lighten the mood and... But in this game, the combat systems and everything were really well done. And people, it was well done enough. And I'm sure this is what Ubisoft wanted. People have to remember, this is not a Nintendo game. This is an Ubisoft game. They just have the license from Nintendo to use Mario.
Yeah.
You have to, we've talked to so many people like, oh, that Mario game was really cool. I'm like, no, timeout. It's not Nintendo.
It's not a Mario game.
It's an Ubisoft game.
Which is why we're able to stream it.
Yes, exactly. Well, at least on YouTube without legalese and all that other crap getting in the way. But it was really something to... I mean, I've talked a little bit. You can talk. I'll give you some time to talk about it as well. But I had a lot of fun with that game. Something I didn't... I had more fun than I expected to have with Mario Rabbids.
Look, all I know is don't get in the way of my Mario because he will wreck everything you love about it. Unless you're one of those giant Rabbids that's got the stone on its back.
Man. Oh my God. Your shit. With a big block hit you. Oh, I hate those.
Yeah, they will wreck your crap. I love, slight spoilers. I love the Donkey Kong fight.
That's the first one.
Yeah.
It's in World 1. Okay, yeah, that was a whole lot of fun and very strategic. There, I think if I remember right, there's a boss I'm at right now that is very tough because the field is so open and he respawns enemies and they come at you in waves and it's kind of a little tricky. I'm trying to navigate through that. But, I mean, yeah, the Donkey Kong fight was very, very fun. He's like, after you kill him in his platform, he stomps and like hits the wave and you have to make sure everybody's in position before that. It's really cool. You wouldn't think that Mario and Rabbids would work.
Normally, no, they wouldn't.
In a genre that neither of them have been in.
Yeah.
But it does, so, and it does it so well.
Yeah, somebody over there played some XCOM.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. I'm like, why don't we take XCOM and put it over here in our Mario and Rabbids? But no, it was a great game. Really, again, one of the gems of this year. Kind of shine bright like a diamond. Mm-hmm. This year. Nah. So, is that it? We're done with our six nominees.
Yeah, however, I do want to go ahead and just recognize a game.
Okay, honorable mentions? Okay.
Yeah, an honorable mention.
We need to make this a trend now. We'll add this in for later. Yes. Honorable mentions.
So, I did not expect this to be as good as it was this year. And I haven't played one of these games since the PlayStation 2 era. Gran Turismo.
Really?
I love the soundtrack. And not just the soundtrack as far as like, you'll never see it coming kind of deal. No, it's great, easy listening music for when I'm focused on driving the car.
Okay.
But it's not just that. This is, like going back, the last one I played was Gran Turismo 3.
Ooh, wow, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, well, I said it was PS2 era.
Yeah.
All right. Now, to be fair, though, there's been a long time in between Gran Turismos, too. They're not yearly like Forza.
Yeah. I disagree with you on that one.
So, I love Forza Horizon 3. Forza Motorsport, I never really got pulled into because simulated racing games are either hit or miss for me.
Mm-hmm. But that's true. For me, if it gets too in the technical part, I lose.
No, really this game is overly technical, and it's great.
Okay.
Yeah. It's actually, I've been gold starring every single tutorial mission for the driving school and working on that. And let me tell you something, man. It made me learn things about what they have to do in a racetrack that I've just never thought about.
You never thought was possible. Oh, my God.
No. I knew it was possible. I've seen people drive around these corners on the Nürburgring. But I'm saying, it's one of those, like, I have a newfound respect for that level of driving.
Hmm.
And I did not expect that out of this game.
Wow. Okay. And you got it. I know you got it in the PSVR bundle.
And then I returned the PSVR bundle.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. Did I tell you?
No. We have to talk. We'll talk off mic about this
because I wanted to ask you. So I returned, but ultimately I got it, the PSVR bundle, because I wanted this game in VR.
Okay.
Couldn't get the headset in focus for both eyes.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Yeah. But the game was so awesome. I'm like, what am I going to do here? So I returned it and just bought the game.
There you go. Hey. They still get the money.
Yeah. But no, man. It's a phenomenal game. It's one of those where it makes me appreciate different classes of vehicles from different countries that normally I'd be like, it's a Citroen. I can keep it.
Okay.
Do you even know the brand I just mentioned?
Yes, it's that orange from Plants vs. Zombies.
No.
Seth would love me for that one.
He would love me for that one. No. It's actually a European brand of car.
Okay.
Citroen, I believe.
Citroen. Yeah, okay. I know they are.
Yeah, especially if you watch old Top Gear.
I don't watch old. I know that brand. I think I may have seen the name somewhere.
But it's definitely something where that game took me for a loop I wasn't expecting.
Okay. Very cool. I don't have an honorable mention for this particular category. I think the ones that I would have brought up are on this list. Probably the only other one I could think of, Unexpected Gem, Astroneer. Go play that game. It's an early access, which hence why it's not here. It's not a finished game. But if you wanted No Man's Sky, but actually people delivering on the majority of promises that they, and it's still not done yet, then Astroneer's your game. 100%. Go play the game. It has true to life multiplayer. I've seen it. I can actually see the other person in the game with me. It's really cool. But
all I heard was yes.
I digress. We've gotten our nominees out of the way, so now it is time to choose. First, we must choose the three finalists that go into the winner circle here before we can choose the official winner. But for Unexpected Gem, which of these three will, let's debate, let's deliberate, should be going to the winner circle? Got any picks for what goes on and off first? Can I start? I'll give you a second to think. I'm going to start, and I think one game needs to go off the list.
Okay.
I think that game needs to be Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice.
Okay, really?
People, listeners are like, if you've been following the episode, you're like, oh my God, what is going? You can't take Hellblade off here. And Hellblade is a great game. I think the reason that I personally take Hellblade off the list is we're looking at, for this specific category, Unexpected Gem. And I'm going to be honest, like, I was excited for Hellblade when they first revealed it at, I think, 2014 PSX? E3? When they showed the cutscene there. I've been following the game and been really, really interested in a lot of the development behind this game.
So what you're telling me is you expected this. It's not unexpected.
Yeah, exactly. You saw me the entire time. And I was like, oh, dude, Hellblade's coming out. I can't wait to play this game. I was super hype on this game.
You were. Guys, he was the hype.
I am the hype. And I'll give another gif here. Have we started the hype? Yes, brother. The hype rises.
I saw that. I couldn't help but laugh.
And that was a really big thing for me. Hellblade is a wonderful game, but looking at in the context of this particular category as an unexpected gem, I do not think that this was the most unexpected game for me.
Fair enough. So off the list it goes.
Yeah, I liked it more than I expected it to, but not as much as some of the other games that are on the list.
Okay, so Hellblade's off.
I struck one down, and that hurts a little bit for me too, because I'm all down for Hellblade, but what else we got? And what stays on, what stays off?
So I think Hidden Agenda needs to stay on.
Hidden Agenda stays on, really?
Yes.
Why?
Because there was not an experience like that this year for us.
You are very true. This is very true.
So like we've played how many games? I've lost track.
How many games did we play during Extra Life Alone before?
My brain hurts. Let me pull the list.
Yeah, I have to pull the archives and like, here's the list of games that we played.
Guys, he made a spreadsheet schedule that spanned 48 hours of games.
It was crazy.
With a new game every hour.
You're right.
There was no experience like it. And honestly, I expected nothing out of the Playlink stuff other than it was like, okay, cool. So it's just Sony doing another quirky thing. We'll see what happens with this.
I was interested in it to see. And it, like, the entry was not high. $20? I'm like, okay, $20 for this cool little party game. I'd be interested to see how this works. But I would agree, like, I never expected the kind of enjoyment and whatnot. Not only I had, but everyone had. Like, we ended
up. Everybody was having fun. We were like, oh, but we want to keep going.
We ended up like, it's the end of the hour. Like, oh, my God, no. We got to find out what happens. And it really wanted not only ourselves, but like the party that we were playing with to come back and like, oh, can we come back? We got to play that again. We got to do that some other time. I'd agree. Hidden Agenda can stay. It definitely stay. Ooh, it's getting a little tight. Okay. Next one. Should it stay or should it go?
I think Comico goes.
You think Comico goes?
Yeah. It's a great game for what it is, but I don't think that it will stand up to the others.
And I think that because I haven't played the game, it'd be hard for me to make a decision on that. Yeah. And on your weight, especially if you're wibbly wobbly on that, I'd agree.
I'm not wibbly wobbly. I think it needs to be on the top six, but it's not top three.
Okay. Fair enough. So we'll take Comico off, which means that leaves us with Little Nightmares, Everybody's Golf, in Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle. This is where stuff gets a little tight. I think Little Nightmares gets on the list.
Honestly, if that's the case, then I think everybody's golf needs to go on there with it.
You would pick everybody's golf over Mario plus Rabbids.
Mario's in the name of the game.
Wow, explain. I want
to. So, not just from my perspective, but most people, if you see Mario in the name of the game, you're expecting at least a certain level of quality from Nintendo.
I can understand.
Now, if it's a Nintendo title or not, is regardless. Like, you expect some kind of quality control. Either Miyamoto's going to oversee their work or somebody else. Nintendo is crazy and radical about protecting their interests.
You really think about it, this, as far as the obvious licensing, this was like the first game in a very long time in recent memory that actually we saw Nintendo license one of their name, their main brand titles and characters to a third party.
Yeah, it's one of those where it's honestly, it's extremely rare for this to happen. But again, it is still a Mario game. It's, yes, it's an Ubisoft game, but Mario is in the title. And that does say a certain level of quality is expected.
Man, that's tough for me. Ooh, that is tough.
Okay. Now, I only say that because I expected nothing from everybody's golf.
And, oh, okay.
And so when I see Mario, I expect a certain level of quality in a Mario game. Just because of the branding that they've pushed with that. Now, that being said, does that level always get achieved? No. Have you played their Olympics game? They're hot trash.
No.
But again, when I see Mario and Sonic, but if I see Mario and something else, I do like just Mario in the title other than their Olympics garbage.
You were, correct me if I'm wrong. I think what's come down to is that when Mario and Rabbids came out, you were interested, but you were like, I want to see it first.
Right.
With everybody's golf, you were like,
it wasn't even on my radar.
And then Cam said, hey, let's play this golf game. And you're like, wow, this is cool.
Yeah, so that's kind of where I'm coming from is like, yeah, Mario Rabbids is cool. It's a great game. I don't think it's better in this regard based off of the guidelines of it was totally unexpected. Everybody's golf was unexpected for me.
Make a good case, Will. I'm going to have to agree with you on that one. You made a very convincing argument. I agree. I could go, I think Little Nightmares needs to be on the list. I could go either way for Everybody's Golf or Mario plus Rabbids, but they both make interesting cases, but you drive home a point, like with Mario, there is a certain amount of quality that you expect, and kind of even me going in, like I expect it's a Mario game. I don't think it's going to light the world on fire, but I expected it to at least be like fun and cool and interesting. And
they'll have some kind of quirky mechanic because they always got to have a weird mechanic.
Well, plus they had Rabbids in there too. So.
Yeah. God damn right.
Yeah, they're in there. Just, you know, you can't ignore them. But with everybody's, I know for everybody's golf, I've been a big fan of Hot Shots Golf, but I think the meter was for you. Like, you expected that level as well for Mario, but you knew nothing. Like, Little Nightmares, we both had no expectations. Like, well, it looks cool. Okay, let's try it out.
It was just that little indie thing. It's like, oh, hey, man, that's interesting. Yeah. Take a peek.
And then for everybody's golf, you were just like, what? What is this game? Oh, this is actually really fun. I'm telling you guys, Vegeta, Batman shirt, make it happen. DBZ character pack.
If the haircut was in there, I would have already made it.
I know you would have. We would have talked about it already. Okay, so with that being said, it looks like our winner circle for best or unexpected gem, the three in there are Hidden Agenda, Little Nightmares, and Everybody's Golf. Which now brings us to the tougher choice. There can be only one. Winner, who do we think deserves the win for Unexpected Gem this year?
So, Everybody's Golf wasn't on my radar. Hidden Agenda, not on my radar. Little Nightmares, not on my radar. Just total transparency. I guess
they've made the top three.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying like they were not on my radar, but the experiences were definitely something different. Personally, I couldn't give it to Little Nightmares because I haven't played it. I've only seen it played.
Okay.
So for me, it would be an experience thing. Like, that is an experience, especially from what I've seen. And I missed, like, two-thirds of the game.
You did.
So I know the ending.
You caught the tail end. You don't know the beginning, but you know the ending.
So for me, it's like, do I even play it now?
Yeah, still play it. Still play it.
But whereas Hidden Agenda, I know the beginning. I need to know the end.
Fair enough.
As far as that goes. And Everybody's Golf, I'm sorry, but I'm on the quest to make as many DBZ characters as possible to play golf as. All to reach that par level.
I understand the point of Little Nightmares. I think that that was a game that I played entirely through on the stream. But we are Rocket Punch. It's not just one person. We are Rocket Punch. And I think that on that particular case, the case can be made that Little Nightmares just doesn't get right up to the top. I can make a case for it, but I think that the fact that you haven't played it, you haven't experienced it, you just caught the last tail end of that game, really kind of keeps it in the winner's circle, but not quite enough to get that winning spot there. I'm looking at these two experiences, and I'm going to tell you myself, for me, I'm going to be straight. We're talking about Unexpected Gem. I never expected this. My pick would go for Hidden Agenda.
Same.
You're saying Hidden Agenda? I don't.
That experience, and that's the thing. It was an experience that I didn't expect. So, yay. All right. Everybody's golf I didn't expect, but I've played golf games before. So, I've not played a game like this, and I just don't see an experience like that happening that often.
Yeah. What really drives the point home for me as well for winning this is that we weren't the only ones that were unexpected by this. We didn't, like, I remember
the whole group was like, no, this can't stop, but it has to.
I told everybody, I'm like, okay, let's go ahead and get ready. Everybody download this app. Can we open it? Yeah, you sure can, but you can't play the game just yet. And then I said, okay, we're going to play this game on the stream. And everyone was like, what? What's going on? Okay, sure, we'll give this a shot. And by the end of that hour, everybody was like, dude, this was really fun. Let's keep playing. Let's keep doing this. Oh my God. The game definitely shows that there is still a social aspect in games.
Like, oh no, absolutely. And I think that we need more experiences like this where it requires you to get together with people to actually play the game. I know it's a niche market and online gaming is the fad, but there's something about sitting there with your buddies and actually playing the damn game.
Complete side note, A Way Out is coming out this year for 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Something that's very cool, I'm sure everybody heard Joseph Ferris's rant on the Game Awards last year, but for A Way Out. But
you mean next to F the Oscars?
Yeah, that was him. That was him.
Yeah. All right, good.
But A Way Out, they did find out that the game, it is co-op. You do need two people to play, but only one person has to buy the game.
Oh, good.
If one person has the game, you can invite somebody else in and you both can play the entire game with one purchase.
That's cool.
That's super cool. And so, and I'm talking not just co-op, just not like couch co-op, but you can be at home, Will, and I can get the game and then we can play together.
That's awesome, man.
And so that's really, really cool. Talking about that particular point. But yeah, the thing that got me with Hidden Agenda, it was really fun, really awesome. You don't have many experiences like that in games, and it drew everyone in. We had people that probably would never have thought to play that type of game, and then me just saying, hey, I got it, let's try it out, and we had a blast with it.
It's a great game, especially that experience. You need to go watch us on the Extra Live stream, because there were moments where it's borderline full-on argument. Like, no, it has to go this way.
It has to go this way. Everybody has to choose. Like, I can't believe this. It's kind of like some of these deliberations back and forth. There hasn't been anything
we've been fairly civil on this.
I know, which is good.
It's okay. When the game of the year happens, that's when the shotguns come out.
Yeah, I think that's what we're all waiting for. It's like, let's go ahead and stockpile the weapons. When game of the year is like, shh, let's go.
Unlike North Korea, we're actually building weapons that work.
Oh, but it's... But I guess that's it. In our winner for Rocket Punch Game of the Year 2017, Unexpected Gem is going to go to the Playlink title Hidden Agenda.
Hmm.
With Little Nightmares and Everybody's Golf rounding out our finalists in the winner's circle.
So what you're telling me is the Hidden Agenda ended up surprising us all.
Touche. Good job. Well done. Well done. Yes, you're correct. It caught everybody by surprise. I didn't necessarily expect that I was going to pick it, but you made good points, Will, and taking that into consideration, I think Hidden Agenda does take home the prize. It was a clear winner for everyone across the board that we didn't expect we were going to have that much fun with it.
Yeah. You know what? Good on you, PlayStation.
No, good job. I mean, those guys at Until Dawn's a great game, and the fact they came out, their next title was this, and they really learned from Until Dawn to make this game was really cool.
I want more experiences like this.
I'm sure, hopefully we get more. Hopefully PlayLink and stuff like that, like the Jackbox Party Pack and PlayLink keep going. So, yep. But guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode of our Game of the Year 2017 deliberations. Like we said at the top of the show, you can always go to rocketpunchgo.com, go to our Game of the Year page. You can find all of the information, who's won, what episodes are coming up, when, what episodes we're streaming. You can find all of that live over at rocketpunchgo.com. If you're wanting to help support the show, always consider swinging over to patreon.com/rocketpunch. Help keep the lights on here because they are definitely off right now. We're sitting in the dark. The sun's going down. So a little joke there. But and also as well, I think we haven't talked about it enough, but definitely if you're enjoying the show, take a few minutes. It would really help us out if you can rate and review us on iTunes, Google, or your podcast service of choice if you're listening to this via audio format. Especially on iTunes, the more reviews we get, the better we can help format the show and make it more exciting and more awesome for you, as well as it helps our ratings as well so we can get more people listening in, which always is a great thing for a podcast. But yep. Guys, thank you so much for listening. We appreciate it. We've got a couple more episodes coming at you, so don't go anywhere.